intend to be a little shorter tonight than normal. Let me have you go ahead and stand, stretch your legs for a second. Turn to Proverbs 16. I just have one verse for you, but then we're going to go all over the place for a little while again with the idea of being a little shorter tonight. But just one verse as you stand, Proverbs 16 and verse 9. There's just a simple truth that jumped out at me off this. It says simply enough in verse 9, Proverbs 16, 9, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." So, Father, we pray tonight that, you know, we've had already been blessed with hearing some testimonies. We pray that you might bless the time that we have here in the Word of God for just a bit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be seated. All right, so Lord, switch a light on for me in 16:9. Sometimes, you know, you read a simple verse and then you read it again some other time and something actually pretty profound jumps out at you. I don't know if you're like me, but since quantity is not always, you're not able to always tell where you're at spiritually. I mean, you go through your checks. Well, I'm saved, I'm eternally secure, I'm going to a decent church, I believe the Bible, I got my dispensations lined up, so I should be pretty good, but you still don't really know where you're at, right? So let me give you another little litmus test here tonight to maybe help out with that. It says in verse 9, "A man's heart deviseth his way." Now that may give you a warning there, because man's devices are usually looked upon very narrowly in the Word of God. But it says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Now, we know that the Bible says the Lord, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Well, a man's heart deviseth his way. 960 plus times in the Bible, a man's heart is mentioned, and this is kind of a real broad principle that I'd like you to just think about. But in Proverbs 16:9, there's two things. There's a man's heart, and there are the man's steps. Okay, and so I want to preach to you for just a little bit about my heart and my steps. The first thing I'd like to point out is the likely disparity. All right. God's ultimate goal for me is stated in Romans 8:29, where it says that I am predestinated to be conformed now to the image of His Son. One day, Jesus Christ is going to come back and take my corrupt body, make it incorruptible, and in that time, I will be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? Finally. Problem is, He's trying to do that with me now, gradually. In other words, when He gets me to the rapture, the idea is for me to change as little as possible then, because I've already conformed myself in some measure to the image of His Son. Okay, now that's plainly a heart thing, right? And so His desire is to mold me and make me. And so the Bible says, according to this verse in 16:9, "But the Lord directeth His steps." So, He directs my steps by giving me a Bible. He gives me precepts. He gives me principles. He gives me laws. He tells me what to do. He's intrusive. He intrudes into my life. Tells me what to look at. Tells me what to think. Tells me what not to think. And all those things. He just gets really naggy. Okay? He directs my steps. So, He directs me into the Bible, and I go to church and get preached at and get hammered and hopefully get right and all that kind of stuff. Now, where the Lord trying to direct my steps from the Bible doesn't work, I probably go out and make goof up something, or I get something in my head and heart that I decide to do. You see there, a man's heart deviseth his way. So I have dreams. I have my own desires. And the Lord doesn't forbid it in His Bible, necessarily, but it's also maybe not what He wants for me. And so, even believing the Bible, I'll go make a mistake. And so the Lord then directs my steps. He then sovereignly, don't read that as Calvinistic, he sovereignly redirects some things in my life. What I intend to do falls apart. The plan doesn't work. Or else it doesn't. It takes far, far longer with far, far more difficulty than I'd attempt than I thought it would. I get to go through trials since I'm not completely aligned with God's will, with what God's wanting me to do, because a man's heart deviseth his way. I got a heart inside me that devises things that God doesn't think up, that it's not God's will that I do. But meanwhile, I'm set. I'm gonna do this my way. And so the Lord directs my steps. First of all, He directs me to the Bible, and I get preached at, but I still don't take it. So I go do my own thing, and I mess things up. And so He has to direct. He has to thwart my plans. He overthrows. He turns my boat over. I didn't wind up in the NBA for some reason. That kind of stuff. Or even worse, like in my case, I know that the stroke I had in 2010 was the Lord purifying and redirecting. See, I know that. And so that's the Lord directing your steps. Now, the disparity is that He directs my steps. But beside that, what about my heart? Who's responsible for my heart? And the answer is, I am responsible for my heart. So a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I am supposed to align my heart with what the Lord wants. The Lord directs my steps. He gives me a Bible. He gives me instruction. He gives me reproof. He gives me preaching. Meanwhile, I go off on my own, and my heart deviseth my way. Now, it's the Lord's job to direct my steps. It's my job to direct my heart. I'll give you proof. Look in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, just turn a few verses here close by. Proverbs 23. Sorry. Proverbs 23. Look in verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Who's the guide of my heart? Who's supposed to direct my heart? I am. I'm supposed to do that. Look in, what does the Bible says? Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Right? I'm called to direct my heart. Look in Proverbs 3. Well, you don't even need to go there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. I'm supposed to control my heart. He directs my paths. He directs my steps. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. I'm getting to it here. Hang on. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Who's supposed to keep my heart? I am. That's my job. The Lord directs my steps, I keep my heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's my job to watch my heart. Problem is, I want to be a Major League Baseball player or a, professional football player. The Lord doesn't have that in the game for me at all. Kyle Stevens, when I graduated high school, I went to college to be a college athlete. And I know it doesn't probably ring your bell, but I wanted to be a championship college shot putter. Like I said, it probably doesn't ring your bell. But that's what I wanted to do. What the Lord, now, I'm a Christian since I'm 10 years old, right? Go through high school backslidden. I have this quote-unquote promising athletic career in college awaiting me, where I'm going to go and everything's going to fall in perfect place. I'm going to be a champion, get a good education, get out, make a lot of money, marry a 10. That's the only thing that happened like I planned. I had to say that. But problem is, the Lord was directing my steps, and my heart wasn't aligned with Him. And so I had nothing but injuries. And frankly, I had nothing but misery through the last couple of years of high school and on really through college until I found the Lord again. Okay? So I was directing my heart. My heart was devising its own direction. Meanwhile, since my heart didn't align with God, God directed my steps into failure and injury and just total misery and frustration for, well, 4 years of my life. And a young life at that point. I'm 20 years old at that point, right? And so the disparity is that in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 9, the disparity is that my heart devises one thing, meanwhile the Lord directs my steps. Okay? That's the disparity. And things didn't work out very well for me. It says in Proverbs 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And so He sees my heart wrong, and He directs my steps. He puts some things in my way so that what I've devised in my heart is not what's coming to pass. I'm going to read you can go there if you want, but Jeremiah 10 real quick. Jeremiah 10. And notice down in verse 23, O Lord, says Jeremiah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. No matter how much devising I do, I am not capable of directing my steps like God can. So my job, and most people don't do it, my job is to get my heart right so that my heart aligns with what God wants from my life so that He doesn't have to redirect my steps and throw everything in the junk heap at my feet so I'll trip and fall because He's dealing with me about my heart not being aligned. Right? So that's the disparity. Now, in 16:9, once again, back in Proverbs, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We've talked about the likely disparity. Well, let me talk to you about the heart's devices, make sure that we're squared away on that. You know what the heart is. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart is a mess unless the Lord's done a work in that heart. And by the way, since it's your job to direct it, you give the Lord credit for it. But you're still going to have to put the effort in to redirect that heart so that it aligns with God. And the heart's devices are pretty bad. Psalm 64, and I'll beat you there. Just let me read it to you. You don't have to go there. It's Psalm 64, 6, where it says, they search out iniquities, they accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Your heart is deep, and I'd like to say it's deeply, many times, misdirected. The heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. It says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, if you want to beat me there, verse 3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. His heart fretteth against the Lord. If you want to know why the world's not aligned with God, is because a man's heart by nature is corrupt, it's deceitful, and it frets against God because it's unrighteous. Just by nature, your heart frets against the controls, the boundaries, the direction the Lord wants to carry you. Just by nature, it's a fallen nature. It's a fallen heart, and that's the way we are. In chapter 19, verse 21, it adds to it, there are many devices in a man's heart. Remember where this started. a man's heart deviseth his way. Well, the heart's full of devices, and those devices aren't good. 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now, what the Lord gave you in the book, that's what's going to happen. And since your heart frets against the Lord and devises devices, almost invariably, well, invariably, left to ourselves, we wind up crossways with God. One more verse along these lines. Look in Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Should put a big red bow on it, right? He that trusteth in his own heart is an idiot. That's in the Hebrew. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. What's wise walking? According to the book, right? So, the heart's devices. The likely disparity, it's probably the reason sometimes that what's going on in your life, a lot of what you're trying to accomplish is thwarted and disappointed because the Lord is directing your steps. There are things He's trying to purify. Your heart may not be aligned perfectly with God. So there's this disparity, the way your heart works and what you want versus what the Lord's directing. And the problem is that the two oftentimes don't match. So you have the heart's devices. The Lord knows the heart. He looketh upon the heart. He tries it. He searches it. He ponders it. He manifests it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Appeals to it. Tries to reprove it. Tries to turn it. Tries to instruct it. But He doesn't direct it. He doesn't control the heart. You do. He controls the steps. If your heart doesn't align, then He's going to do some stuff in your life that's going to be frustrating. It could be worse, even. It could be destructive because your heart is not aligned with the steps that the Lord is directing and leading. But I am supposed to control my heart. I am supposed to direct my heart. Okay, 16:9, one more time. Look at it. It says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." So you have the Lord's directions. You have the Lord directing. You have the likely disparity. You have the heart's devices and desires. And then you have the Lord's direction. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What's that about? That's about the Lord purifying you, the Lord putting you through things. And in the end, He's directing your steps so that your heart comes in alignment with what His directions are, right? So everything that happens in life, you got some people get cancer, parents are heartbroken, trials that you go through, you get in a rut, you get in a position where nothing seems to be happening no matter how much you pray. And just keeps dragging on and on and on and on. Well, that's the Lord directing your steps. That may be the Lord trying to realign your heart, which is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to get in the book and find out where you're going wrong. And if you don't get direct instruction from the book, then the Lord thwarts and directs your steps so that you're suffering frustration because your expectations are not being met. Right? Again, my athletic career in college, okay? Things that I have thought that the Lord would want me to do in the ministry and bless them. Turns out, didn't work out so well. I wonder why. Because my heart is as pure as the driven snow, and I just want to be fruitful. I just want to have a bigger church. I just want to be more influential. Lord says, I don't want you influential. Whoever gave you that ambition, did I direct you to that ambition? You know what I'm saying? You know, you want an example? Here is Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh is known for the Lord hardening his heart, right? But as you know, I have a different view of that. Here's Pharaoh, and the Lord keeps saying a simple thing, let my people go. And Pharaoh keeps saying, no. And so the Lord keeps hammering him, right? And eventually, after enough hammering, Pharaoh goes, okay, I'll let him go. And then he changes his mind. And so the Lord hammers him some more and finally kills him. Now, the issue was that Pharaoh kept hardening his own heart through that whole affair. But he was so tired, so fed up of God's redirecting of his steps that finally that he rejected God altogether. So it was just that God was dealing with him that hardened his heart. We now live in an America like that, where people know Bible verses and hear the truth and they don't want it. And it makes no sense, the position they come to, it makes no sense for somebody to come to the point where, you know, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl. I think, although I'm in a girl's body, I'm actually a boy. It makes no sense whatsoever. But they have hardened their heart so and rejected God, rejected biology, rejected their creator to the extent that they're hard as nails. Okay? But that's the Lord directing. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. And our Lord says, I've made Nebuchadnezzar a great man, but he gave him a dream. He says, I'm going to cut down this tree. And Daniel had to come in and tell Nebuchadnezzar what that was about. He said, well, you need to get right because you have these high ambitions and everything. And the Lord shown me that he's going to cut you down to the ground, that you're going to crawl around on all fours until you know that the God of heaven directs things and that you don't direct things. And he said, what would be best is for you to get right now, and maybe it won't be so bad. Well, a year or so passes, and one day Nebuchadnezzar is walking through his realm, and he says, look at all that I have built. I mean, God cut him down to the ground. He lost his mind instantly. And he spends the next seven years, passing over him, crawling around on the ground in the backyard, eating grass like an ox. His kids are watching their daddy do this until the Lord finally gave him his mind back and he was able to glorify God for what God had done. Look, my point is, Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way. If you're not careful, your heart runs away with you. You're constantly encouraged to that end by the world. Dream your dreams, you know, don't let anybody tell you what to do. You know, you just got to follow your heart, says Michael Landon, the Michael Landon gospel. Paul wouldn't lead you wrong. Paul would always lead you wrong. Right? Because a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord wants you to draw your heart into alignment with his book. And so he shows you things out of the book. And even then, even with the right heart, you may get a little off track. So the Lord then has to move in and direct your steps. Not just by instruction, but he'll have to thwart what you're trying to do. He'll leave you someplace where nothing is working for a long time so that you redirect your heart to align with God. So then, the last thing in short, I've shown you the likely disparity, the fact that there's a disparity between those two things, what your heart devises and what the Lord directs. Your call to direct your heart. The Lord's calling is to direct your steps. He is not going to sovereignly direct your heart. It's our jobs to make our hearts right with God. So there's the likely disparity. Then there's the heart's devices. Your heart is wicked. Your heart is stupid. Your heart is corrupt. it will almost always, left to itself, lead you wrong. Then you have the Lord's direction. The Lord's correction is for you to get in the book and align there, and where you still make mistakes and where you still need something that you don't have, like character or integrity or patience or experience. He'll sometimes direct your steps for years of frustration or wanting a prayer answered and not getting it answered because he's directing your steps. That leaves me with the last thing, and I've already said it several times, but it's the ultimate design. The ultimate design is that you align your heart with his direction. It's your job to direct your heart. So how goes that battle for you? In the last 6 weeks, what kind of progress has been made where in your frustration, perhaps, you see that God's trying to do something with you that you've not been right about? Because, frankly, most Christians never get to that point, right? Look, the evangelicals and megachurches feed so much garbage to Christians, it's not even funny. Listen to Christian radio and go to the Christian bookstore and get a Help Me book. It's almost going to always direct you to do what you want, and that maybe God will bless it. That's not what we're talking about here. Let me give you some other examples from Scripture. Just think about these as I go through them, and I'll have you turn to a couple. Okay, Psalm 44 says, "Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way." Talk to God. Okay, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. That's somebody there whose hearts are aligned with what God's doing. Our steps have not declined from thy way. We're walking the walk. Our heart is not turned back. Our heart is aligned with what you're doing. Now, look in Psalms 73. Psalm 73 real quick. Okay, you know how this goes. Psalm 73, verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He's got a problem. He's got a problem that most of us have at one time or another. Why did he get that and I can't have that? Why does somebody across the fence have what I don't? I'm not allowed to get? I mean, I think I should be able to get a new car at least once in my life. He gets a new car every year. Doesn't God love me? You see what I'm saying? Okay. "I was envious at the wicked. I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Verse 4. "For there is no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men." I mean, they get everything. They get to do what they want. "They are crooked in business and they still make money out the ears." And here I am just barely paying bills. Envious at the wicked. Okay, what's wrong there? What's wrong there is that your heart is being misdirected. Right? Now, if you don't think that this is real, look down in verse 13. The psalmist comes to this conclusion, at least in short. "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." I don't even know why I should keep trying to do right. Because the wicked get all the goods and we get nothing. Verse 14. "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And then something happened until I went into the sanctuary of God." He must have gotten preaching there or some light from heaven. "Because then understood I therein the wicked's end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors." Do you see that shift? That is a man who goes into the early part of the psalm and his heart is wrong. His heart is deceitful. It has misdirected him. He goes to church, gets preaching and praise, and he gets light, and his heart turns back, and now he's right with God. You see that? In Psalm 37, it says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Okay, so now our text said, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." This verse says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." So that matches, "and he delighteth in his way." So the key is, the Lord's directing you through the book. You delight in doing it the Lord's way. And now things come together. Now things are working right. Because it doesn't matter that you don't have a bunch of money, right? Because you're pleased with what the Lord's doing in your life. "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Your job is to get your heart aligned with the will of God, with what God is doing, with what God's called you to do in your life. And if you don't, he'll take you to preaching, take you to the woodshed and try to correct you. If you won't learn that way, then he has to sovereignly come into your life providentially and start teaching you the lessons the hard way. Sometimes that costs years, not to mention tears, right? The things that you have to learn by hard measure and experience. Again, in Psalm 37, it says, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." I mean, if the guy is walking according to the Bible, the law of God's in his heart, then the Lord's directing his steps. He doesn't throw anything in his path because his heart is aligned with God's will. God's directing his steps, but you have to direct your heart. And Psalm 37, again, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord. He will give thee the desires of thine heart." Get your heart right and delight in him, and then the Lord gives you the right desires. It's the Lord giving you the right desires. It's not necessarily you getting the pink Cadillac or a white Cadillac. I'm just kidding. Just picking on your daughter. She's got a 78 Caddy out there, man. She's driving a tuna boat. Well, the point is, ladies and gentlemen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. He's going to direct your paths and he's going to direct your steps. Your job is to get your heart aligned with him and trust him. Proverbs 23 says this, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there's an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty." I'm going to direct your steps and drive you into poverty if you keep sucking on that bottle. Your job is to get your heart aligned with God, because the Lord's not going to bless you spending all your time gaming or spending all your time with fantasy football or some such nonsense like that. He's not interested in that. He's calling you to align your heart with him, or else he'll wind up directing your steps some other way, and it's not going to be as easy. In Proverbs 3, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Let thy heart keep my commandments. You direct your heart to do this. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." I mean, you'll live longer aligning your heart with God's will, with God's instruction, with God's ways. In Proverbs 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." God directs your steps there. Here's Paul. I'll give you, this is the final illustration. Paul had written, or Paul wrote, in Romans 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And so Paul, although the Holy Spirit said, do not go to Jerusalem, three separate times. Do not go, do not go, do not go. Right? Paul said, I am so burdened for Israel, I've got to go. He said, don't go there, go to Rome instead. No, I'm going to Jerusalem. Gets to Jerusalem, gets immediately arrested. Right? And then what plays out over the next couple of years or more, Paul goes to Jerusalem instead of Rome, got arrested, wound up in the hold of a ship, wound up in jail, wound up with several trials, wound up having to appeal to Caesar, and the Lord says, well, I'm going to take you to Rome anyway. We're going to do what I told you to do to start with. But folks, even the Apostle Paul had his steps directed because his heart misled him. And that's kind of hard to take because all he wanted to do was win his people to Christ. But the Lord said, I don't want you winning your people to Christ. I got somebody doing that. You go win the Gentiles to Christ. That's your calling. Paul said, no, man, I'm going to Jerusalem. He says, don't go, don't go, don't go. He went anyway and got arrested before he could preach. They tried to kill him several times. Goes through several stages of a trial. Winds up before the king in time. Winds up before Caesar. And then winds up eventually losing his head. Of course, in that time, he writes all the books of the Bible that we know he wrote. But really, that whole incident was all about him, his heart, devising his way. And God said, I don't want your steps going that way. And so he told him, he didn't listen. And so then he redirected steps so that he gets to go to Rome aboard a prison ship and still preach the gospel there like he told him to do to start with. Okay? So the lesson. The lesson is a man's heart deviseth his way. You can't trust it. It's your job to control it. You got it. Don't trust it. It'll mislead you. You need the book to lead you. And if you can't get the direct answer from God from the book, then he's going to direct your steps in life providentially so that you can correct. In the meantime, you may wind up with long years of patience spent trying to figure out what the Lord wants you to do. So it pays you to get in the book and direct your heart. Because the Lord's going to direct your steps. It's just a much easier lesson being directed from the book than being directed from experience. Good? All righty. Let's have a word of prayer.